Hey everyone, Lawrence here. On today's episode of Hot Take, we take a deeper look into the mega deal involving James Harden and the Brooklyn Nets and how it affects the rest of the NBA. From there, we discuss NBA villains from recent memory, plus Nat's favorite topic, the LA Lakers. Hope you guys enjoy.
What's up, everyone, and welcome back to Hot Take, where I, along with my co-host Nat and Lawrence, give you our hottest takes on all things NBA. Fellas, it's been another week of NBA games, a lot of crazy stuff going on. So we'll dive right into our top stories that transpired over this past week from the last time that we met. The first one, I guess the most recent one, the one that dropped today, Kevin Porter Jr. of the Cleveland Cavaliers basically has been fired. I didn't know that could be a thing. They legitimately told him just to pack up and leave. For people who don't know, Kevin Porter Jr. was in some undisclosed, he had some undisclosed problems going on. The Cavaliers organization was trying to help him through it. He came back. And of course, when he came back, there were some new players there from a trade that we'll get into. And one of the new players was given Kevin Porter Jr.'s locker from while he was away. And he just went berserk. Apparently went to like a screaming match with personnel. From some reports, I heard that there was throwing of food. All because of a locker switch. I mean, we don't know the whole story. We don't know the things that he's going through in his personal life. But what, you know, for you guys, like when you first saw the news drop, like what were your reactions that?
I mean, first of all, I saw the comparisons to J.R. Smith. A lot of people on Twitter saying like, oh, like these Cavs players just throw food at the coaching staff or at the people in
Cleveland. Do you remember what happened with J.R. Smith? What was it?
I think he threw it at Damon Jones, right?
He threw the food at Damon Jones. He threw like soup or something.
I forgot why though. Do you remember why? I don't remember why.
I have no idea.
Okay, yeah. But like either way, that was crazy. I mean, I haven't really like followed Kevin Porter Jr. Like I haven't followed his game or his like presence, but I mean, that was just wild to see this morning. But yeah, I'm still shocked by that. Obviously he's like going to be traded or released or something like that. I don't know what the whole deal is, but yeah, it was crazy.
Lawrence, what are your takes on that?
Yeah, I was kind of surprised when I first saw the news. I was kind of thrown off guard. I was like, oh, all right. Because they're really just done with him, and that there's no like questions asked about it. They're just gonna try and move forward without him.
Yeah, I mean, like I feel kind of bad for him because you don't know what, like I said, you don't know what he's going through. Right. And then you know, I'm not condoning his behavior. There's certain ways you go about carrying yourself and handling your business, but clearly, there's stuff going on. I hope he finds the help that he needs, and I hope he lands on the team soon because he is a great talent. With that young core of Garland and Sexton, Kevin Porter Jr. is supposed to add like this nice twist to that rotation. So hopefully he finds a good landing spot. But all of that transpired because Taurean Prince, who was one of the two new Cavs that were brought in, through this massive trade. Everybody in the world knows what happened. Last Wednesday became official. James Harden was officially traded to the New Jersey Nets. If you missed out and you don't know the details of the trade, this is basically what it entails. The Nets received James Harden from the Rockets, along with a 2024 second round pick from the Cavs. So that's two teams involved so far. The Nets traded Jarrett Allen and Taurean Prince and the rights to Alexander Vezhnikov and a 57th overall pick, who was a 57th overall pick, to the Cavs. They also sent Caris LeVert, Rodion Skuric, and 3 first round picks and 4 first round swaps to the Rockets. So that's the third team. The Rockets, who received Caris LeVert, then traded him to the Indiana Pacers for Victor Oladipo. The Rockets also received Dante Exum from the Nets, along with 2022 first round pick from Milwaukee, from the Cavs. Gets a little bit confusing there. So far, the three teams that are involved, Nets, Rockets, Cavs. And like I mentioned, the Rockets then traded Caris LeVert to the Indiana Pacers for Victor Oladipo and a couple other pieces. We'll dig a little bit deeper into this trade later on in the show. But what I wanted to ask, we'll start with Lawrence first. Lawrence, in your opinion, who won this trade?
See, that it's really tough for me. I think the Rockets actually ended up winning in the trade. It freed up the chemistry in the Rockets locker room, right? There was all that turmoil the night before the trade actually went down, right? They were all kind of just throwing shade at each other through the what do you call it?
The chemistry was really bad.
It was really, really bad. Like, you can tell it was really bad.
Cringy and awkward. Exactly.
Yeah. They received a bunch of first round picks. So not only do they get role players to fill in for James Harden now, but they can possibly turn those picks into stars later on and build for the future.
Now, what's your take on this trade? Who do you think won this trade?
See, man, I have no definite answer either. Like, personally, just to be general here, it's not the Nets. So for me, it's either the Rockets or the Cavs, because the Cavs have just like 4 big men now, or 3 big men. That's insane. Mm-hmm. And the Rockets, they have Oladipo now with paired with John Wall. So I mean, you know, taking Lawrence's route with the draft picks, I think definitely the Rockets have a bigger win share, I guess, of this trade, because they have their whole future to look forward to with these picks.
So initially, my reaction to the trade when it first happened, I thought Indiana won the trade. Because you have Malcolm Brogdon, you have Sabonis, now you have Caris LeVert, who was balling for the Nets.
Mm-hmm.
He's a straight hooper. He's an upgrade to me from a Victor Oladipo. Of course, Victor Oladipo's in, you know, the routine of getting back into things, getting into NBA shape, you know, especially after the layoff and the injury. He's still not 100% back. So I think Caris LeVert automatically is an upgrade from Victor Oladipo, which is why I thought where the Pacers were, and TJ Warren's not even back yet. You know, you're going to have a healthy TJ Warren. You have the Holiday brothers. And then you add somebody like a Caris LeVert and what he could bring to your team. The Pacers are already doing very well in the Eastern Conference. How much more when you add the star caliber player of a Caris LeVert? Now, sadly, I think a couple of days ago, the news broke that Caris LeVert is out indefinitely because they found a mass on his kidney. So hopefully everything works out well with that. He's had a tough stretch with injuries and freak injuries and a whole bunch of stuff going on. And I just want to see him on the court because he's a straight hooper. And that's why, in my opinion, I thought the Pacers won this trade. On the flip side, Lawrence, who do you think lost this trade?
I would have to say the Nets. Even though they did gain James Harden, they lost their depth, which is one of their strengths going into the season, right? They traded away all these players, including Caris LeVert, Jared Allen. And then, like I mentioned before, they traded away all their picks, right? So like they're really dumping into winning now and not really looking forward to what's going to happen in the future.
Now, what's your take? Who do you think lost this trade?
Nah, Lawrence, I agree with you 100%, man. The Nets lost this trade. They're thin now. They have no big men, no rim protectors. I mean, they have DeAndre Jordan? He's washed. I don't see him defending Giannis at all. But yeah, definitely the Nets lost this trade for sure.
Okay, you know what? Originally, right, my first reaction was Cavs. I thought Cavs lost the trade because I'm like, what are you going to do with two more big men? You already have Andre Drummond. You have Kevin Love. You have some guys that come off the bench. You have JaVale McGee already. You have Larry Nance. What do you need Jared Allen and, you know, Taurean Prince for? You bring in Taurean Prince and now Kevin Porter Jr. is off the team. You know what I mean? But like now, after hearing you guys' argument, it's kind of hitting me differently because the Cavs didn't really give up too much. What'd you say?
No, I said good. Sorry.
No, I feel like the Cavs didn't give up too much. But the Nets, on the other hand, when you think about it, the Nets, like you said, they gave up a lot, right? They gave a lot of future picks, all this good stuff. The thing that worries me about the Nets, right? I'm not hating on the Nets. I'm glad that, you know, Harden found it, you know, the place where he's happy and whatnot. But the thing is, right, I feel like they were already bad defensively. And Jared Allen was probably your anchor for your defense. And you got rid of him. Totally.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So now, like you said, DJ's washed. Who do you have to rely on?
Jeff you Green. Can't rely on,
I mean, I guess KD.
You can't rely on KD because he hasn't proven yet that he's back from the Achilles injury, but defensively, players who suffered Achilles injuries, they don't come back the same defensive caliber player.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Wes Matthews, or when it happened to Kobe, or when it happened to DeMarcus. Mm-hmm. It's drastic unless he works his way to that point. Kyrie was already a liability defensively. We saw him get crossed up by Trae Young, you know, last week.
Yep.
Yep.
James Harden. Don't get me started on James Harden's defense. Don't even get me started. Like, he's notoriously bad on defense. Of course, he's picked it up over the last couple seasons, but come on. Mm-hmm. So the only thing that they're going to have to rely on is their offense and hope that they're high-scoring offense, which is great for the Eastern Conference. But how is that going to hold up when you have to face components from the Western Conference?
Mm-hmm.
But we'll get into that a little bit later because we're going to dive deeper into this whole Nets mega deal that transpired over the past week. Before we get into that, to wrap up our top stories, I just kind of wanted to ask you guys, Lawrence, from last week up until today, what was your top play of the week?
So my top play of the week is going to come from my New York Knicks. We have our MVP of the season so far, Julius Randle.
I'm sorry, who?
Julius Randle.
And who called it? Yes.
That would be you. Yes, yes.
Yes.
All right, I'll give you that.
Putting up LeBron-esque numbers. And with this play, LeBron-esque plays. He gets a pass, drives into the lane, and absolutely posterizes Andre Drummond. oh my god, that was nasty.
That was nasty. Nat, before you give us yours, I was right about Julius Randle. You made fun of me.
I did. Over Mason Plumlee. Yes. Oh, that kind of deserves it.
Over Mason Plumlee. Just wait. There's still plenty of games to be played. Wait for the Plumlee. Jump, hype? Yeah, it's gonna happen. Watch. Okay, what was your top play of the week?
Man, it's obvious at this point. It's obvious. I mean, the three that changed the league. the turnaround no look three from LeBron James that changed the league forever.
What did you do it on? Forever. What team was that?
I think it was on the Rockets. Yes, it was on the Rockets.
Yep.
Apparently, Dennis Schroeder bet him $100 that he'll make the shot. I know that he won't make the shot. So LeBron obviously makes a shot. You know, bench goes wild. That video was hilarious. You saw Jared Dudley just walk away from the bench. It was hilarious. But that three changed like everything. Like it changed
everything.
This podcast even. like we're talking about this trade now. Like it's everything.
Yes.
So that's exactly my play of the week.
For me, I wanted to ask your guys' opinion because I had, well, Lawrence already mentioned one, you know, the Julius Randle. The other two posters that I had, in your guys' opinion, which one was better? Zion's poster that he had against the Kings, or Paul George and his poster?
We already know what Nat's going to say.
Man, I'm...
It has to be Zion, right?
Was Paul George even a poster, though? I think he just ran through the lane and then just...
There was somebody there, but they didn't really contest it like in the Zion poster. So it would have to be the Zion, right? Like that one was just...
Yes, it's very...
It's like Julius Randle, but like Julius Randle had a running start. Zion was backing him down and then spun around, then jammed it on him. Like,
yeah,
that's grown man moves right there.
It really is.
So I think for me, top play of the week has to be Zion's poster against the Sacramento Kings. Our last segment for top stories. What was your top game of the week, Lawrence?
So the bias is going to hold true here again. Last night, my New York Knicks defeated the Boston Celtics by a whopping 30 points.
How many?
30. That is a 3-0.
Okay, so the Knicks-Celtics. Now, what was your game of the week?
See, I didn't have one in particular, but I did watch one game in its entirety, and that was the Nets and the Nuggets. I think that was like Tuesday or Wednesday, last Tuesday, Wednesday, yeah, where KD had that clutch two-pointer to like seal the game. Mm-hmm. So it was that one for sure, because that I watched. So
so for me, to me, the game of the week is kind of piggybacking. What's the right? How would I word that? Yeah, piggybacking off Nat. I said the Lakers-Rockets game was probably the game of the week.
Oh, that's
it. Because it legitimately shifted where we are, like how much one game can change the entire league.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, because after that game, that's when James Harden says, you know, his whole thing about, I gave everything I can, like we, you know, we're just not good, you know. I love the city. Thank you. And he walks away. And then you have DeMarcus Cousins sitting there like, you know, we don't care about him. You know, we're trying to build chemistry. You know, he's been gone. You know, all that jazz going on in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
Which when that transpired, when you saw that press conference of James Harden and what he was saying and you saw the rebuttal of DeMarcus Cousins, you could clearly see the friction that they have in that locker room, right? Mm-hmm. We all knew that it wasn't going to work out. There was no way it was going to last an entire season.
Right.
There might have been some of us, myself included, where it's like you kind of have that little bit of hope that they would find a way. Because John Wall is talented. DeMarcus Cousins is talented. Christian Wood is balling out of his mind right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not a terrible, terrible team, but the way it is viewed to some people is James Harden forced his way out of Houston. He got what he wanted. Because of that, it almost instantaneously vilified James Harden and became one of the league's villains. When you talk NBA villains, the first ones that come to mind, of course, in recent history, you have the Bad Boy Pistons, 80s and 90s. Just how mean they were, physical they were. Everybody hated the Pistons because of the way that they played. In even more recent history, you have LeBron James. When he did the whole decision, you know, on ESPN and left Cleveland to come play in South, take his talents to South Beach to play with his boys, he was instantly villainized, right? Nobody liked him. People were burning his jersey. I don't know if you guys remember this, but I don't remember if it was for Gatorade or for Nike or whatever it was that LeBron was doing a commercial for, but he was dressed up as a cowboy and like basically stating that like he was embracing the villain role. And if you remember that first season in Miami, he was not playing like LeBron James. He was not happy. He didn't like being the villain.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until the next season where he changed his mindset. He's like, you know what? I don't want to be the villain. I just want to be happy and play games. And they ended up going back to back. You know what I mean? In even more recent history, you have Kevin Durant. He leaves OKC, the team that drafted him, you know, the Seattle Supersonics, transformed to the Oklahoma City Thunder. And then he goes to play with a basically already established super team. You know what I mean? Like,
basically,
granted, they weren't put together. They were brought up together. They were cultivated to be a super team. And he just joined them. You know, you join the enemy, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And that vilified him. And it kind of brought out the true Kevin Durant. I don't know if you guys remember in the early, like, 2010s, like, Kevin Durant was seen as almost as if he could do no wrong, right? Like, people were like, oh, you know, the perfect nickname for him would be the Slim Reaper. And he was like, no, I want to be called the Servant. And, like, people were like, what? The Servant? Like, that's not, like, what is that? And then, like, you see how his true personality came out, and, like, he's just a killer. That's basically what he is. He's cutthroat.
Yep.
And now you have James Harden. You have James Harden, who's now the league's villain. He's the villain of the NBA. Lawrence, let me ask you, what is your overall take on James Harden?
Where do I begin? Oh, my gosh. This guy is, like, we've been saying Kyrie is a diva. Oh my gosh. This guy is even more of a diva, I think. I think he's, like, fake. Oh my, so fake. You know, like, you guys read the letter that he wrote to Houston saying, oh, thank you.
Yes.
Like, I poured my heart and soul into the city for you. I gave you everything.
He's indebted to the city.
And, like, right. He wasn't able to bring a chip, but, like, he didn't give his all to the city. You know, like, every time they had their backs against the wall, he didn't show up. You know, every time they were close to making it to the finals, he didn't show up. You know, even in, like, the last week, right? You can't say you gave your all to the city when you were playing like that. You weren't showing up, you know? Like, you didn't care about the city. That's obviously present because of how you put yourself out there to leave Houston.
It's kind of like what Shaq was saying. I don't know if you guys saw what Shaq was saying on, you know, TNT and everything like that. He basically said the same thing. You can't say that you gave it your all when clearly you didn't, when you didn't show up in those moments. For everybody listening, Lawrence made reference to what James Harden wrote, you know, as his departure to the city of Houston. He said, "What can I write? What words can convey all the ways I feel? Houston, you welcomed me with no guarantees. You took a leap of faith and it changed my life and the lives of my family forever. This organization, this city, has given me everything I could ask for and more. Before the scoring titles, long before the MVP, you believed. For that, I'm forever indebted. The city opened its arms and welcomed me and my family as one of its own, and for that, I'm forever indebted. I gave my mind, body, and soul in hopes of bringing the glory to the city. I fell short of that, and for that, I am forever indebted. That's as far as a goodbye as I'll pay all my debts." And that's basically how he signed off. Nat, what's your overall take on James Harden?
He will never be a champion. That's a hot take, but that's what I believe.
Wow.
Although Houston, like, kind of propelled him, or, like, you know, lifted him up, I think. But I mean, this whole trade, I think he handled it. He didn't handle it well. The ending of the trade, or, like, how he left Houston. He didn't say goodbye properly, I would say. Definitely, obviously joining KD, who is a snake. Therefore, I think snakes, you know, they kind of just, they kind of just bond together, I guess, you know?
Yep.
I mean, but other than that, I mean, I guess, you know, people, I've been saying that he does look happier in Brooklyn. So I guess if he's happy, hey, I guess that's the main thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my my take with the whole James Harden thing, initially you want to be upset. You want to be angry because how everything looked. Everything is like 90% perception, and it just did not look good on his part because of the whole diva thing. And there's so many arguments that you can make against James Harden, right? He wanted a superstar talent. They brought him Dwight Howard. It didn't work out, so they got rid of him. Then they bring in Chris Paul. He wanted Chris Paul. They got Chris Paul. Didn't work out. They get rid of him. They bring in his boy Brody. Doesn't work out. They get rid of him. And then they still try to make him happy by getting somebody like a John Wall and a DeMarcus Cousins. He's still not happy. Eventually leads to the trade to the Nets. Now, I can see and understand like why it looks so wrong and so bad and so evil on James Harden's part. But at the same time, there's two sides to every story, right? We always say that. And I think Dwayne Wade said it best, like, yes, he could have handled it better, but he's doing what makes him happy. He's doing what's best for him, which is what a lot of players in the 80s, 90s, they couldn't do that. Early 2000s, they couldn't do that. That's why it was a big deal when LeBron wanted to come to South Beach. That's why it was a big deal when KD wanted to go play in Golden State. So it's kind of like, why can't James Harden go and play with Brooklyn, you know, if that's what he wants to do, if that's what makes him happy? So there's always like that constant battle that, you know, there's always that, there's two sides to every story. So like, I agree with Dwayne Wade in saying, you know, like he's doing what makes him happy, but could he have handled it better? Yes, he could have. Mm-hmm. But I also understand James Harden's perspective, right? Because we're looking at it from the inside out. But if you try to look at it from James' perspective, he came into the league. He had, you know, a couple seasons with the Thunder and then was traded to Houston. He gave, what, 7 years, 8 years to Houston? These are kind of like his prime years. This is like his peak years. And clearly, the West is getting stronger. There's nothing going for him. Yes, you're giving him all these talents that, you know, he's been asking for and requesting for. It's just not working. Who knows about the whole like organizational aspect of it, but he just wasn't happy. So he wants to go play somewhere where he said it in his post-game interview when his debut with the Nets, right? He's like, they, you know, when you play better, you know, basically you have people that play better, you're going to feel better, which is kind shade. Of like, yeah, mm-hmm. throwing shade to the guys at Houston, which I will say, if the Nets play in Houston, I hope the Rockets destroy the Nets. Like, I agreed, I just hope they give it to them.
Yes.
But at the same time, at the end of the day, you know, I can't hate on Harden for doing what he wants. It's kind of like, let's say, because, you know, the three of us were Filipino. We all know the joke, majority Filipinos, they go into nursing, right? You go into anything other than medical field, you're kind of looked down upon and whatever the case is, right? So imagine you're going to school for nursing, but you absolutely hate nursing and you finish nursing. You know, like you're going to hate your job for the rest of your life.
Yep.
Right.
It's kind of the same thing with James Harden. Like you can be loyal to a place that's not going to take you anywhere, or you can go be happy somewhere. And he chose happiness. So I'm not going to hate on him for that. That's just my take on that. What I want to ask is, Lawrence, what's your take on the new look Nets? What's your take on the Nets as a whole after this trade?
So I would say like their talent definitely went up, right? They have all the talent in the world, right? They have Kyrie, they have James Harden, they have KD, DeAndre Jordan, and then countless others, right? That's a very, very talented team. And with talent, you're going to have wins. The wins are going to come to you, right? But we also touched upon it earlier where they no longer have the depth that they did have in the beginning of the season. And with that, I think that's going to show a lot of weaknesses going forward, as well as we don't even know what's going on with Kyrie, right? Like, that's still a big question mark. And we're still waiting for that answer to see what's going to happen with that going forward.
Now, what's your take on the new look Nets?
Man, it's a lot of things, to be honest. First of all, this team is good without Kyrie at present. So imagine with him, you know, that could be a problem, could be a good thing. Who knows when he gets incorporated back into this offense and defense. But again, like what we said earlier, their defense is shot now. Like, it's not as good as it was before.
Mm-hmm.
But like at the same time, you have incredible offense. You have three good weapons to use on offense. And mind you have Joe Harris in the corner waiting for an open three for the most part, most of the time.
Right.
So it's crazy how this offense is going to run, you know, with these three now in one team. But again, they are a super team. I do see them going to the finals. I'm a little scared of this team. I'm going to lie. I'm pretty scared. KD is a bad man.
Yes.
Mama, there goes that man right there. KD is bad. This guy's amazing. But again, like what everyone's saying, all the jokes, you know, these two are the dribble brothers, you know, Kyrie Harden. So again, it's gonna be hard to see that happening, you know, them coexisting. But obviously they're gonna find a way. But until that happens, I'm scared.
You know, I'll just kind of throw it in there because this news also dropped today. You know, props to Kyrie Irving for buying George Floyd's family a home.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, big props to him. Like you guys alluded to earlier, we don't know what's happening with Kyrie. He hasn't been with the team. Apparently he's being fined, you know, here and there. At the end of the day, I still don't believe in this team. Like, on paper, yes, they're scary because you have arguably the two, possibly three best, well, two best scorers and like top three finishers at the rim. I don't know what it is. I just feel like it's more of a chemistry thing. I mean, we saw it even before James got to the Nets. Mm-hmm. They were struggling with KD and Kyrie, right? We all saw the jokes. We saw the memes about, you know, them on 2K, the simulation, and they're just like dribbling until like the final second and then just throw it up, you know. That's going to be their new offense. But I really do feel like chemistry could be an issue for this. And definitely. I feel like we've seen this happen before in the past when you had Dwight Howard, you had Steve Nash, you had Kobe Bryant all on the same team. What happened there? It didn't work out. Even before that, you had Kobe, Shaq, Karl Malone, Gary Payne. It didn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's been times where you have crazy rosters that come together. We saw it last year with the Clippers. On paper, they were absolutely the most terrifying roster. And look what happened. I honestly do feel like the Nets, on paper, they do look scary. But chemistry-wise, I just don't see it. I don't see them making it out of the East, at least not yet. You know, maybe give it a season. And on top of that, who knows what happens next season? What if Kyrie's not happy because now he's getting limited touches? Or, you know, it's all of a sudden James Harden city and KD was the first one to Kyrie was the first one to go to Brooklyn. You know what I mean? Like, that's how there's so many different things that could happen where there's egos involved. There's different personalities. It doesn't matter how good it looks on paper. What matters is what happens in the locker room and how it transpires to the court, which is why me personally, I still don't believe in this Nets team. I didn't believe in them in the beginning of the season. I still don't believe in them now.
Yep.
With that said, Lawrence, to you, are the Nets the biggest threat to contend with the Lakers?
See, I want to say yes, just because of the star power and going forward, the wins are going to come. Like, they just have to be able to learn how to play together. Whether or not that happens is questionable at the moment, right? Someone's going to have to take a back seat, and we don't know if they're willing to take a back seat, knowing who they are. So I want to say yes, but that's not a solid yes.
Nat, of course I'm preempting this as, you know, if the Lakers were to be the Western Conference,
they will.
If they are, you know, are the Nets the biggest threat to the Lakers?
I'm going to answer it yes, but the reason is different. I think because with James Harden going to the Nets, they have to go to the finals. They have to. Like, it's almost expected. It's almost required at this point because of what it took for him to be there and the fact that there's three, like, superstars on that team. Like, they have to be in the finals. You know, with the Lakers or whoever, like, whoever's going to be. Lakers, probably. But they just have to be there. But to answer your question, you know, plainly, like, are they a threat to the Lakers? Hell no. Hell wow. No. Because, all right, there's, like, more in-depth things, but just like, in general, like, aspect, chemistry is going to win. Like, the Lakers are, like, on cloud nine. They are, like, just cruising right now. And, like, their whole team is just so well put together, so well bonded. Like, I doubt, you know, that's going to, you know, be in comparison to the Nets, who are currently trying to build theirs. So,
mm-hmm. I mean, see, originally, like, if you guys had said no, I would have asked you who would be the biggest threat to the Lakers. Me personally, we already know I don't think they're going to make it out of the East. For me, I think the team to come out of the East still to this point, who I think on paper is the most well-rounded team, top to bottom.
Don't say it.
It hurts me to say it, but with the way things are looking right now, as of right now, this is my opinion right now.
Okay.
It would be the Sixers. It would be Philly.
See, but yeah. Why? Is it because of Joel Embiid and that there's no one to guard him? Is that why?
No. The reason why I think Philly would come out of the East, if you look at the East top to bottom, I think the next best team that could probably give them matchup problems, the top three that come to mind for me would be Pacers, Celtics, Heat because of the matchups.
Okay.
Right. Philly is arguably one of the best defensive teams right now.
True.
Mm-hmm.
With the way Ben Simmons is playing, with the way Joel Embiid is playing, the shooting that they now have, the coaching that they now have, they're just playing. I knew last year, because they were the favorites last year, I just knew right away last year they weren't going to be the favorite. They weren't going to make it. I just knew it. This year is a little bit different. You know, I don't even like the Sixers. I don't.
I can't stand them.
Yeah, I can't stand them. But if you match them up against the Nets, you could put Ben Simmons on KD, right? You have smaller guards that can at least stay in front of Kyrie and James. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side, we already know the Nets don't have defense. How are you going to stop Joel Embiid? You gave away your big men.
Yep.
That's true.
That's a field day for Joel Embiid.
Man, but does he choke, though, in the playoffs?
This is true.
I don't know.
This is how I feel now. Who knows what happens in the playoffs if he's conditioned to make it and produce the way that he does in the playoffs. But on top of that, you kind of reinforce your big man position by adding Dwight Howard.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep.
Dwight Howard doesn't need to give you, 20 and 10. But if he can provide defense for you, and he's quick, he's still he's up there in age, but we saw how he was last season in the playoffs. He's agile.
Mm-hmm.
He can give you matchup problems. So plainly, okay. I don't think the Nets are the biggest threat to the Lakers. If the Lakers even make it back to the finals, that's a whole nother story. But speaking of the Lakers, right? I've been thinking about this. We're talking about the East. Who would be the biggest threat to the Lakers coming out of the East? And I guess we would all agree right now the East is not looking too good.
Yep.
I mean, my Miami Heat team, I think they're in like 10th place right now. And they've just been getting blown out. Like, it's really sad to watch. you know it's bad when Miami is in like 10th place and the Knicks are in like 6th or 7th.
I like it. Hey, Lawrence. Yeah. There we go.
I feel like even the Cavs have a better record than we do. Like, it's really bad right now. But nevertheless, like, we see how weak the East is. Of course, the West is stronger, but I don't think there's a clear-cut team that will, like, it's obviously going to be the Lakers coming out of the West. Like, Lawrence, do you see another team giving the Lakers a hard time coming out of the West?
I mean, like, Nat's going to hate me, but, like, maybe the Clippers, like...
No, I agree. I agree.
Clippers are playing well right now.
That's the only team I could think of. Yeah. That was the only team I could think of. So, I think, I mean, is there any other team out of the West aside from the Clippers that are looking good enough to contend with the Lakers?
I mean...
Honestly, no. Oh, sorry, Lawrence, go ahead. Go ahead.
I might say the Rockets, you know, like, with James Harden being gone, right? Chemistry... Like a bad, if people going through a bad situation together, right? After they get out of that bad situation, they're usually like more together. You know what I'm saying? Like there's a stronger bond between.
They're bonded through that. Yeah, they're bonded through that trial. You know that.
Right, right. So
that issue that they had to go through.
Yes, and I think the addition of Oladipo is going to be really nice in Houston.
Very
and
true.
They might be able to make some noise.
So if they turn it around, you think the Rockets could probably potentially make some noise coming out of the West?
Potentially.
Potentially. Now, for you, aside from the Clippers, because, like, I don't know about you guys, but, like, even me, like, I say the Clippers, but I still don't fully believe in right. the Clippers.
Yep. Right.
And, again, I don't think they match up well against the Lakers. I feel like the Lakers are just too big, too smart, too fast. If not the Clippers for you, Nat, who would it be?
You know, honestly, I can't even like identify a team because there's different flaws for each team. I mean,
right.
the obvious choice would probably be Denver as number three, like in terms of like who would they match up against, you know, coming to the conference finals. But Denver, again, like, I don't know. I feel like Jamal Murray is kind of like taking a step back. He's not performing right. as well.
No Mason Plumlee, you know, no.
but also, you know, back to the Clippers real quick. I feel like they're the only ones that can come at the Lakers, but that's if they make it to the conference final.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Because obviously, yes. you know, we don't know what's going to happen, but if they make right. it to that spot, then yeah, we had actually, you know, there's an actual thing there, but if they don't make it, then what's the point?
Yep.
You know?
Right. I agree. I mean, of course, Lawrence said it earlier, the way that the Clippers are playing right now, it looks really good. You know, good, yeah. PG, he has like this vendetta against the whole world right now. Like he's coming. Like he says he's coming. You know, he wants revenge. Let's see how long that lasts. I mean, I hope he does it. Because
he's going off right now. Mm-hmm. For sure.
He's balling.
But it's so weird because I don't know what it is with the season. I don't know if it's with the scheduling. I don't know if it's with, you know, you have two games and three nights or whatever the case is. But is it just me or do you guys notice like there's been more and more blowouts?
Yes.
Just yep. in general.
Yep.
Yeah. I agree.
Right?
Yes.
And I feel like the only – to me, the only team that I hate saying this, I hate having to say this. the Lakers are the only real consistent team to me right now.
I mean,
for the most part.
I mean, yeah, they just want to be a championship. You know, they're like riding this high, I guess. You know,
and I think with the additions that they have, like Marc Gasol, I think he's so underestimated for what he does for this Lakers team. He's so smart. He's like he sees yeah. things mm-hmm. that Dwight Howard could not see, JaVale McGee could not see. So if you put him in crunch time minutes, you know, the end of a game,
yep.
he's gonna do things that those other guys could not do for you. He's at gonna see things
speed, at the cost of speed, because he is slow. He is slow.
He's slow, but what I like about him is you could facilitate the offense through him and he could just yeah. give you, yes. you know, just run like screens, cuts, whatever the case is. If he needs to bail out, he could take a 3-point shot. He could hit mm-hmm. threes.
Right.
You know, it's underestimated like the IQ that he has, which is what Rondo gave the Lakers last season.
Yep.
You have that IQ. Him and LeBron were on the same wavelength, IQ-wise. And now you have that with Marc Gasol, and it's more impactful because it's a big man doing it. So you're spreading the floor even more, which really frustrates me right now because I don't want the Lakers to make it. And I'm even more frustrated because Miami is really bad right now and I don't understand it. I don't know what's going on. To kind of wrap up the show, I just kind of wanted to get your guys' thoughts and opinions. I'll start with you, Lawrence. Like, for you and your Nets, do you think, or what do you think the Knicks have to do to, in order to keep playing at this level that they're playing at, in order for them to make it a deep playoff run? What do you think they have to do?
I think they just have to put their trust in Coach Tibbs. He's gotten them and put this mindset, instilled this culture into the team, and I think they've really responded well to it, as we can see with how they're playing so far into the year. As long as they follow, like, him and what the game plan that Tibbs is putting forth, he's going to make sure to put the team in the best position to win every night, as long as they go out and execute the game plan.
For Nat and your Lakers, what do you think the Lakers have to keep doing in order for them to keep performing at the level that they're currently playing at and not get too lax and kind of fall off? Like, what do you think they need to do?
That's the key. Just, like, you know, not taking your foot off the gas. Definitely, I think just getting that chemistry more, you know, improving that chemistry, definitely getting everyone involved, you know, getting to know each other, you know, off the court and on the court too. But as of right now, they're, like, bias aside, like, they're looking pretty good right now. You know, they're different, you know, and I do see a repeat in the future.
I just feel like LeBron is even more lax than he's ever been. Like, he just seems so comfortable. Like, he could take shots and not even think about it. Like, he's taking, like, logo shots.
No, and, like, he can go on the bench and not worry about a lead being blown.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
exactly.
Finally, his career. About time.
Yep.
Finally.
Jeez. I mean, that's one of the perks of having a super team that you built yourself, you know. So I understand. He built the Lakers so that he can rest.
What is this team you're talking about? What? He has one star. Oh my gosh.
Oh, man. Now let me ask you guys, for my Miami Heat, I don't know what it is. I know we had, like, some COVID issues. We had players have to sit out. We've had games postponed. I don't know if that's messing up the rhythm of everything. For you guys, what do you think Miami has to do? Lawrence, we'll start with you. What do you think Miami has to do to get the ship turned around, basically?
Yeah, I think they just have to get that confidence going again. Every time they've tried to get that momentum building up, they run into a problem, whether it be an injury, whether it be, you know, like you mentioned with the COVID. I think they just really just got to get their feet under them and really start to gain that momentum and then roll that throughout the rest of the season, hopefully into the playoffs.
Now, what do you think the Miami Heat need to do?
Man, I hate to say this, especially to this, you know, one fan right here in front of me, you know, Heat fan right here, but nothing. Like they're just hopeless, man. I'm sorry. They're less talented this year around, man. They lost Jay Crowder. I mean, like, I don't see them going that far in the East, especially with James Harden in the mix now and in their conference. You know, they only have just Jimmy and Bam. After that, it's like, you know, I don't know.
I feel like there's been some talks, and I know it's not going to happen. Of course, it's just wishful thinking.
Oh, yes.
That the experiment that's happening right now with the Washington Wizards, there's going to come a point where Bradley Beal will be up for trade talks. And I feel like Miami would need a player of that caliber. I don't know. Maybe I'm you know, jumping the gun too soon, because I also feel like they were kind of at this point last season where they didn't look too good, they didn't look too bad, like they were just kind of like, I don't know, nonchalant about the whole thing, and then all of a sudden they turn it on in the playoffs. Miami's always like that. They always turn it on in the playoffs. So like, who knows? Who knows what's going on? But I mean, we'll see what happens. Hopefully my team turns it around. Lauren's team has definitely turned it around. Shout out to the Knicks. Nat, I feel like your team is just proving day in and day out that they are the team to beat.
Yes, sir.
They are the team to beat. With that said, is there anything that we missed? Anything you guys want to bring up?
Nah, not really.
Nope. That's it for me.
All right. Well, with that said, stay tuned for our episode next week because we will be having a couple more guests on the show. We're going to have a really interesting episode for you next week. So stay tuned for that. Continue to follow us on our social media accounts. We have Instagram at the Hot Takes Podcast. Also on Twitter, you can follow us on our individual Instagram pages. Shout out again to our good friend V, who listens to the show along with her sister, Kyra. They listen to the show. They give us, they help us out in terms of graphics and everything like that. So shout out to them.
Very dope.
With that said, fellas, I'll see you guys next week.
See you next
For everybody
week.
Else, stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you next time.
This has been a Fuse Podcast original produced by yours truly, Nat, with music by Johnny C.